Chairwoman Bustos, Ranking Member Scott, and members of the subcommittee, thank you for holding this hearing today. My name is Rob Tate. I'm a farmer, crop insurance agent, and crop revenue consultant, which means I work with fellow farmers to help them develop comprehensive risk management strategies for their farms. I'm also a board member of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. My wife, Kelly, is a healthcare worker providing palliative care, and we raised two boys, Logan and Jonathan, just outside of Cannon Falls, Minnesota, where we're represented by Angie Craig, who I know had something to do with my invitation to testify today. Thank you, Congresswoman. I grew up in Farmington, a Twin Cities suburb, but now I live in Cannon Falls on the family farm that my ancestors homesteaded generations ago. We love living and working on our fifth generation family farm. And as a crop revenue consultant, I look at the whole financial picture of farmers. I help with, and today I want to mainly focus on crop insurance, a strong farm bill safety net, and an ad hoc relief that you provided over the past several years have been vital to the survival of farm families. MFP, CFAP, WIP Plus, and the pandemic assistance for producers have not been perfect, but I would not want to imagine what farm country would look like without them. American agriculture has been an economic ditch for about 7 years before we started to reemerge earlier this year. Thanks to the rising global demand and higher commodity prices, it's a relief. The overreaching theme in my testimony this morning, or excuse me, this afternoon, is the federal crop insurance is an absolute mainstay for the rural Minnesota and farm families like mine. If Washington does anything on farm policy, it should first do no harm to crop insurance. Secondly, for producers in regions and crops where the program's not working optimally, I'd urge Congress and USDA to work with producers to address these situations through the 508H process, research and development and pilot programs, which are all authorized under the statute. Farming is a very risky business, and the stakes keep getting higher and higher. Crop insurance is not only vital to producers in recovering from natural disasters, but it's also essential in securing credit. The best way to help beginning farmers, socially disadvantaged farmers, or other producers who, like me in my early years, may not have had a lot of capital at their disposal is to help these producers manage their risk through federal crop insurance. We mainly grow corn and soybeans in my area, though we've had a good crop mix in Minnesota, dairy and livestock as well. For years, livestock and dairy were underserved by crop insurance, but now roughly 35% of the milk marketed in the United States is insured under crop insurance. Over 700,000 head of cattle are insured under the LRP or livestock risk protection. These two great precedents about what can be done for underserved producers using policy development authorities under crop insurance. The innovations that built the successful crop insurance program began in 1980 when Congress turned the sales and servicing of insurance over to the private sector. Now an indemnity is usually received within 30 days of a finalized claim. This is incredibly efficient, especially when compared to disaster programs where it can take years. In 1994 and 2000, Congress increased the premium discount for farmers to encourage producer participation in crop insurance at higher coverage levels. These innovations achieved great success and largely eliminated the need for ad hoc disaster until the first WIP program in 2017. And finally, another innovation is Dr. Art Barnaby's development of the revenue coverage products. These innovations have caused federal crop insurance to take off over the last 41 years. Importantly, there are more premiums paid into the system than indemnities paid out. Farmers have skin in the game. One area where there's room for improvement is on deductibles. A farmer has a deductible on the face of his policy. If he has a 75% coverage, he has to lose 25% of his crop before he can collect indemnity beyond that. The other is a hidden deductible when the APH, the amount that he can insure based upon past yields, lags behind what they can actually produce. Trend-adjusted yields, yield inclusions are examples where Congress, RMA, private sector development have worked hard to tackle a problem, but there's still room for improvement. As we continue to work on improving crop insurance, I appreciate Chairman Scott's interest in standing disaster program as a potential bridge that complements rather than undermines crop insurance that does not result in lower crop insurance participation or coverage levels. Finally, I hope to steer you away from a couple of things as policymakers. There have been proposals in the past that would undo every success of crop insurance and return it to the days when it did not work for farmers. Cutting premium discounts, eliminating the harvest price option, private sector delivery, undermining producer confidentiality, and imposing pay limits and AGI testing our proposals, it would be extremely harmful. Thank you. And I hope my testimony has been helpful, and I look forward to answering your questions.